This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know when you're at a party and someone casually drops a travel finance tip that makes you rethink every trip you've ever booked? That's the energy Smart Travel brings. Except it's backed by serious research and delivered in a way that's actually fun to listen to. They cover topics like which flight deals are actually deals and which are just clickbait, how to get value from your points instead of settling for that tiny reward at checkout, and the smartest ways to book flights without laying that exhausting game of guess the cheapest day. If you care about traveling well and not overspending to do it, this is a show you'll want in your rotation. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
Most people in the points and miles world dream about trips like the Maldives, Dubai, Emirates First Class, and flying Etihad's The Residence. But today's guest has also lived the other side of travel, getting stuck in a country during a major shutdown of air travel, dealing with canceled flights, hotel uncertainty, and the kind of chaos that tests how really well do you travel. In this episode, Cappy Sinclair joins me to share both sides of the game, when luxury travel goes incredibly right and when travel plans go completely off the rails.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. I have another fantastic guest with some amazing stories lined up for today. But before we introduce him, a few reminders that we always want to make sure that we share. As always, you can catch all of these episodes in their full entirety on our YouTube channel, which is linked in the show notes. And for those of you that only watch us on YouTube, you are missing out on half the show, because although these episodes come out in the middle of the week, on Fridays, we have our quick hits. That's our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles and travel, and that only comes out on our audio platform. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you catch your podcasts. And wherever you're watching or listening to this, please make sure to leave a review, leave a rating. We'd love a 5-star rating. Tell a friend, make sure to subscribe, do all those things as well, and make sure to follow us on all the social channels also. Now, I want to introduce a friend of mine in our local area who we connected on a few different passions, one being on cars, the other being on travel, on points, on business, a few different things. And so I am super excited to invite onto the show to share some of your amazing travel stories that we've literally been messaging and texting each other about over the past few weeks. Cappy, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks, DeAndre, for having me. It's amazing that the world of social media can put two people together that live in the same town but have never crossed paths in a matter of months. So thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have you on the show. And yes, it is funny how social media can connect people, which, I mean, it's what it's designed to do, but oftentimes it doesn't do that. But yeah, we're in the same area. We actually didn't like live this close together. We got to meet, and from that, that's all she wrote. So enough about me though, Cappy. Let's talk about yourself. What do you do for a living, and how did you get into the points and miles world? So let's get a little bit of background on you.
Perfect. So for a living, I'm a dentist. I mostly specialize or do aesthetic or restorative dentistry, which really just means trying to make your smile look as good as possible, whether that's through veneers, implants, bonding, things like that. So I have a practice here in Virginia Beach where I started about 15 years ago and had a partner join me about 5 years ago, and we've been rolling ever since. So it's been a pleasure to build my own business, as you know, in the area. And it's just an amazing thing to see how all of that has occurred organically and from the support of the community.
I absolutely love that. And how did you get into the points and miles world? Were you already in that world before you started your practice, or did you find it much later?
So great question. As far as points and miles and dentistry, they don't really go hand in hand. I, like a lot of other things in life, they just happen to fortuitously fall into my lap. So a good friend of mine who I'd done a couple other business things with one day has like, hey, have you ever checked out this points and miles with credit cards? And I was like, no, tell me a little bit more what you're talking about. And he shared with me some of the like good days of like dollar coins in the treasury and using credit cards to purchase the Sacagawea coins and getting sign-up bonuses. And he's like, you can't do that now. But since you run your own business, I bet you could gain a lot of points through sign-up bonuses and credit card travel and things like that. And so around 2015, 2016 is when I first signed up for poorly a United card, and from there have started to generate different cards along the way. So I think after that was an American Express Platinum card, and I'm guilty to say I probably have 35 cards in holding. So like a lot of us, it's a passion project, but it can unravel pretty quickly.
I absolutely understand what you mean by that. Well, I got to ask then, Cappy, you know, so you're a dentist, you're a business owner. How has that evolved your thought process on the way that you earn points? And I think probably a better way to ask this is for someone listening to this who may be Google searching, can I do points and miles as a dentist, or best way to do points and miles as a dentist, which I know you actually create content on, and so we're going to get to all that information as well. But how does it make more sense for a dentist when it comes to the expenses that you might have?
I think dentistry is a unique profession in that you do have a lot of available time. I think now in dentistry, there's a majority of women that are entering the profession. And I think a lot of those are obviously working moms that have a family. And so the ability to spend time with your family and or just with your friends and be able to take trips and have these opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise, and how you can leverage your dental business or your practice and utilize those credit card points and rewards to travel to destinations that you may not initially think about and experiences that you may not initially really think that they exist and or even know about, and start to have some of those experiences on the travel platforms and be like, this is just something I never even imagined. So I think the nice thing about dentistry is you do have flexibility in that you do have a lot of expenses. And there are things that you've talked about before on your podcast about even running payroll and various other expenses. And you can leverage a lot of those things that you might already be doing, but utilize it for the additional benefits of traveling.
I love that. And I know because we've had other physicians on the show, other doctors on the show, that oftentimes have said that a lot of their expenses, a lot of their vendors, they can't actually use directly pay with the credit card. Now, many of them, they can go through kind of third-party solutions like a Melio or a Plastic or the Zill Money platforms or whatever it may be. But then there are some that they actually can't for various reasons. Do you find that in the dental world that it's similar, or are most things able to just be paid with the credit card? That's kind of the normal expected way of doing business with your vendors or expenses that you have in the dental world?
So I think the experience of the physicians is like the canary in the coal mine. The landscape's changing, to be 100% honest. It's becoming more and more selective. For instance, vendors that 2 years ago we wouldn't have any problems paying are now increasing surcharges or not accepting credit card payments. So it's becoming more challenging, I will share with you that, but at the same time, it's not something that all of our vendors are like, no more credit cards. So if you are willing to put in the extra work and effort, there's still tons of opportunities out there to utilize credit cards and points benefits.
Now, this stage, Cappy, are you focusing more on welcome bonus or more so ongoing business spend? Because you've been obviously in this world for a while. We're going to talk through some amazing trips and things that you've done because you're playing this game at a pretty high level. With high spend as a business owner, it can be really easy to knock out almost every single sign-up bonus there is outside of perhaps maybe the highest of the highest, like that Capital One provide.
Yeah.
Are you constantly kind of working in that world, or is it just, hey, your spend's pretty high, so you can rack up points just with general spend? Or are you still playing the game with a mixture of both?
So what I will share with you is your accountant doesn't like it when you have 15 credit cards out and is running different sign-up bonuses and changing things on QuickBooks on a monthly basis. So initially, that's what we were doing. And we were doing our own bookkeeping, our own accounting. We were a much smaller practice. Now we're upwards of $5 million in revenue. And when you get to that perspective, I think it changes the game. And you're really just looking at generating as much points as you can without creating a headache for the other systems and processes in your office. So it's been an evolution for us. We absolutely chase sign-up bonuses. I think the last one that we went after was the Chase Sapphire Reserve when they switched to the business platform. But for the most part, we're just maintaining the cards that we have and utilizing those and being selective about where we're charging with certain vendors when it makes sense.
No, I like that. And I think it's helpful to throw out there for those that have an accountant, have a bookkeeper. They don't like that juggle. I do a lot of that myself within most of my businesses. But then I have a CFO that I'm like, hey, I will handle this certain aspect because I don't want you to get too confused. So I completely understand that. Now, Cappy, I know we could go, you and I could go down the rabbit hole on this episode and just talk business and business planning and credit card strategy with business. That's not really what this episode is meant for because we have some really cool stories to get to. But I do want to ask you real quick before we start talking through some of your travels. I want to ask you, since you have a business partner, how do you guys share points essentially? And I know different businesses have different rules and strategies on how they do this, especially how many partners they have. We've had an amazing episode on this in the past that we'll link in the show notes as well. But I want to know, how do you actually go through like handling points with your partner?
Yeah. So the way our business is set up, we have items that both of us need for necessity. So things like supplies, materials, Amazon orders, things like that. All of those are split, and we split those on either monthly or quarterly, whenever the points get to a certain amount. We also have personal items that we both spend through the business from the aspect of gas, things like that. So those go on our own personal items. So if we're spending allocations for that, then that's going to go to our own personal points. So it's worked out really well for us over the last several years. He doesn't dive into this as much as I do, but it's been great to help him. He's been on some amazing trips where he's like, hey, I'm trying to get here. We have this time off for spring break. Can you help find my family, do something fun? And they went to Paris last summer and have done some really cool things. They're actually out in Jackson this week now, enjoying the mountains. So a lot of cool trips he's been on as well.
I love that. I love that. Now, we've got to pivot here because you were part of one of the more wilder stories of traveling that's happened over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And namely that, without getting into any politics on this show, essentially you were traveling with your family in the Virgin Islands when the U.S. came in and basically took out the president or took the president of Venezuela, which then caused air traffic and a bunch of other things to shut down completely in the Caribbean and the Latin American countries. So can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like?
That day was crazy. I remember it. I mean, it was a couple months ago, so it's not too far back. But wake up Saturday morning, supposed to take a flight out at 10 through Miami. Look out, there's not a cloud in the sky. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a great day for flying. We're not going to have any issues getting home. I kid you not, 2 minutes later, I get a notification on your phone. Your flight to Miami has been canceled. I'm like, that's bizarre. And no rebooking, nothing. Like, that's it. So I walk up to the front reception area and, hey, what's going on with the airport's closed, is what they tell me. So I'm like, the whole airport in St. Thomas is closed? Yep, the whole airport's closed. I was like, well, that's weird. So slowly news starts filtering in. I'm Googling on my phone what's going on. Come to find out, obviously, the whole Caribbean airspace is closed and creating all sorts of challenges for travelers in the area. I think within the next 30 minutes, I probably was on the phone with American Airlines trying to rebook something. They were like, we can get you on a flight on Friday. I was like, well, I guess I'll get onto that. So that was the first thing that we ended up doing, was getting on another flight.
And roughly what day was that?
This was Saturday.
Okay, so the following Friday.
So this is during Christmas time. So Christmas to New Year's, so heavy travel. And then right afterwards is obviously the first part of January, where people still vacation down to the Caribbean. And so my assumption is that all of the flights were already at max capacity, and there just weren't any flights without any availability coming back to the United States. So yes, that was very challenging. So the first thing we do is obviously hop on that flight. Just out of curiosity, I was seeing what the rates were for private flights as things got later into the week, which was completely outrageous. But fortunately, again, I have a partner in my office, and they were able to hold down the fort for me fairly well over the 5 days that we had an extended family vacation.
Now, what resort were you at when you got this announcement, and were you able to stay there with this unexpected cancellation or shutdown?
So we were at the Bowie House, which is in Frenchman's Cove. It's a Marriott property. Fortunately, because the airspace was shut down, they didn't have any flights coming in that Saturday. So because the whole airspace was shut down, so any guests that were going to be arriving at the hotel obviously weren't going to be able to utilize their room. So the first night, they were like, we can extend your stay, no problem. Everything will be great. When I knew we weren't going to get out till Friday, I was like, well, maybe we can just stay here for the rest of the week. So we enjoyed the rest of the day. Foolishly, I didn't book anything else for the following day. So I made the assumption, great, we'll be fine Sunday night as well. We were not fine Sunday night. In the meantime, I had to book several other places, or at least call around and ask for availability. We ended up securing a room at the Ritz from Monday night through Friday. Sunday night, we did not have a place to stay until 9 p.m. that evening. Again, I made the mistake of relying on the hotel, and towards the afternoon, I was checking Airbnbs, other hotels, and it was very challenging just to find a place to stay. My wife asked the hotel or the attendants at the Bowie House, can we sleep in your lobby if this is the worst case scenario? They said, we're not going to kick you out. My kids thought it would be amazing. They'd be like in a camp out because their lobby there is open air. It's wide open to the ocean. They have fans up top. They have comfortable lounge seating area. So my kids were like, great, we're going to sleep outside in the lobby of the hotel. Fortunately, it didn't come to that. So we had a couple things come our way. But at the end, I ended up booking an Airbnb. And how I found it was I extended, instead of just doing a one-night stay, I extended our stay for 2 to 3 nights and was able to find a location that, again, we paid for 2 nights, but we were able to at least spend 1 night there.
Got it. So we were at a Marriott property, the Bowie House, ready to check out. Things were great. Airport gets shut down. They say that you'll be fine to stay there. You stay there and extend, and they say, hey, sorry, we have no more availability for you.
Yep.
And so we're scrambling a little bit. We stayed in this Airbnb for a couple of nights, and then you ended up where after that?
And then we relocated to the Ritz. So on the other in Red Hook. So not a bad location change. But we were partially homeless, or at least worried we were going to be partially homeless on a Caribbean island for a couple hours. And I do want to say kudos to my wife for being very tolerant. She's a planner. And this was totally out of her wheelhouse. And again, if you're going to be stuck on somewhere, a tropical destination is not bad, because my kids were entertained by the pool, by the beach. The team at the Bowie House was super accommodating, making sure that we had everything we need. They knew this situation was out of our control. And they did a great job, I think, handling not just us, but there were multiple other guests impacted by this situation as well.
No, I absolutely can imagine that. And I'm curious, this is a complete assumption. I'm assuming the Ritz property is probably a fine hotel and resort. Did you book through there? Did you get any perks like free breakfast or anything like that? Or was it just mad dash, whatever you could get booked it as quickly as you could and didn't even check by chance?
So this is the crazy thing. On Marriott's app, there weren't any available rooms on the Ritz. On American Express, fine hotels and resorts, there were. We hadn't used it had just started over the new year, so we were able to use our $300 credit for the Platinum card. And on top of that, we did get upgraded to a suite, which was amazing. We actually had a 2-bedroom suite for our extended 4-day trip, breakfast included, all the bells and whistles. So it really, I don't think, could have worked out any better for us. And the property, both of them are totally different properties. The Bowie House is a much more intimate. I think it has about 60 rooms across 5 or 6 villas. It has some really cool food and restaurants, some really nice fine dining. The Ritz is much more expansive, has a kids slide, so my kids love that. It's in a different part of the island. It's a little bit more calm, so the bay doesn't have as much wind coming in place. So two totally different environments, but it was great to see both parts of the island.
That's awesome that you were able to do that and get there. I'm curious, was it completely smooth sailing while you were at the Ritz? And yeah, we stayed there for a few nights and then take a plane out on Friday, or anything else come up between then?
So it was smooth sailing. So what I will share with you though is there were obviously other travelers that were impacted by this as well. Us getting out on Friday, because we actually were in contact with American as soon as the flight was canceled, we were able to get out 5 days earlier than most other travelers. So our stay could have been extended until the following week if we didn't act early and were looking for another flight. So that's my lesson that I learned from this is, again, when your flights are rearranged, rescheduled, if you have status, it's great if you're able to contact. We have Executive Platinum, with American. So it's great to be able to hop on the phone with them and they'll take care of us pretty quickly. I should have done that with the hotel side of things, but I didn't. Because I was like, oh, maybe we'll get out Tuesday, maybe we'll get out Wednesday. I don't want to schedule a hotel. But in talking to some of the people around the pool that were in the same situation as us, they weren't able to get out until Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. So they were extending their stay even further.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And that's one of the under the radar reasons why I also chase status every single year. Now, instead of Executive Platinum, I always go for Platinum Pro with American Airlines for many benefits, including One World, Emerald Access, and other things. But when problems happen, when you're sitting at an airport and you get the notification for whatever reason that your next flight is canceled or it's part of a much larger system of effects, whether it's weather or whatever it may be, getting that dedicated number to make a phone call that will bypass the hours long wait where people have already made bookings. So by the time you make a call, when you've been waiting hours for someone to call you back or on hold, it matters tremendously, because if you can act fast enough, you can typically be on some of the next flights out that have availability, as you mentioned. And I think that's a little bit that gets understated in the points and miles community about airline status, because a lot of times people say, oh, you don't really need airline status because you can just use points and fly business class and get treated with the status, which is fair. But if you didn't fly business class to get there or don't have a dedicated number for a status line, that can make all the difference, like you mentioned. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
And the other challenge is traveling with 3 other individuals. So in many cases, if you're a solo traveler or a couple, it's a lot easier to get reallocated to a flight pretty quickly. I'm sure you've had other individuals on here that have families much larger than mine, and that just becomes way more challenging with any flight disruptions. It can disrupt the trip pretty significantly.
I mean, Cappy, this is absolutely wild. I got to ask, because I'm a huge fan of travel insurance for different reasons, and not just necessarily going with your credit card, but sometimes on bigger trips I've mentioned in previous shows about like actually purchasing travel insurance. I'm curious, were you able, I mean, this is a really, really crazy scenario here and what the reasoning for how things got shut down. So were you able to recoup any of the cost of any of this? Did travel insurance kick in? And if so, I'd love to hear more about, like, was it separately purchased? Was it through a credit card? Like, how did that work for you?
So I learned a lot from this trip about travel insurance. In many cases, credit cards are able to utilize trip insurance and things like that. So actually, this trip was booked through or at least the plane ticket portion was purchased through our American Airlines, I think the executive, whatever the card that gives you lounge access. So it was booked through that, which we actually have trip insurance through. So I filed a claim. And then I got a nice letter back 2 weeks later that said that because this is an act of war, that everything was disqualified. So I think of that now with all of the people, obviously, in the Middle East and flight disruptions and things like that. And all of this, for the most part, is not included in any insurance claim. So everything, I think about a lot of people. Fortunately, I imagine there were a lot of people down there that weren't expecting this expense. And fortunately, we used points to secure a lot of the trips and travel for us to go down there. But I mean, for some of these people, this trip may have been something they were saving up for half of the year and paid for everything cash. And then on top of that, to have another week that they had to come out of pocket for, I think is probably pretty challenging for some of the families down there. And I forget what the exact terms, again, they give you information, but there's specific types of insurance that you can purchase afterwards, but there's a specific clause that I think it's like without occurrence or something along, you may know better, that you need to look for. And it actually will include like wartime activities and things like that as well.
Yeah, it is really nuanced what's available. Usually, I mean, myself, for a smaller trip like you took, I likely would not have purchased extra trip insurance for something like that. I know for our honeymoon, which I talked about in the What Things Can Go Wrong episode, with our honeymoon, we purchased trip insurance to cover the entire 33 days of our honeymoon. And so that kicked in for a lot of different reasons. And now want to actually go back and look at the rules there through World Nomads and see what they're with war clauses and such. Cause I mean, that can be excluded in a lot of different ways, including like even sometimes in your homeowner's policy and there's different things. Like it's a really thin line that can be used a lot, but absolutely crazy to deal with all that. Happy you made it back safely and were able to enjoy such a next level aspirational trip that we have to talk about. And speaking of which, as we're recording this right now, the stuff in the Middle East has just popped off within the last week, and you were just there about 2 weeks before. So if your trip was shifted 2 weeks in advance, you would be dealing with another wartime clause scenario in a much more serious environment. So let's talk about this next trip that you took.
Yeah. So this year was my wife's 10th year anniversary. We got married in Tulum, which I know you and Taryn love very much. And so obviously over the years, we've accumulated quite a few points and I've had my eyes on how to utilize them best possible. So there were a couple of aspirational items that I wanted to accomplish. And one of them was to fly halfway around the world to the Maldives and stay at the St. Regis, which I've seen that property, like a lot of us, in pictures, and I wanted to experience in person. So fortunately, we were able to take off about 2 weeks. We left from DC on Qatar Q Suites through Doha. We had a great layover in Doha for about 9 hours, which we got out of the airport. And it's an amazing city. It's crazy to think that the city is really only 10 to 15 years old and it already has so much infrastructure. People are super friendly, very safe. And then we flew Qatar first on the old Cathay Pacific 777, I believe, the old retrofitted planes, which was a great experience, to the Maldives, and then stayed in the Maldives for six nights at the St. Regis, which top two properties in my existence. It was amazing. It checked off every single thing that, like, one of those places where you're like, it can't be like this in the pictures. And you're like, it's like this in the pictures and it's amazing. Every corner you turn around, you're like, this place is unreal. So the Caribbean's great, but it was just the next level.
Yeah, Maldives is certainly next level. So no, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
So we stayed there for 6 nights. Then we flew back to Dubai on Emirates first, which was another great experience. It was not the game changer suite, traditional suite on a 777. And then we ended up at another amazing hotel destination I'd had my eyes on, the Almaha, which is in the middle of the Dubai desert, an amazing property. Again, all sorts of all-inclusive items that you can do with excursions. Food was amazing. People were super friendly. And then we ended up flying out of Abu Dhabi back through to the United States or through Canada on the A380 in the residence, which was a great way. That's the cherry on top of the trip. So, and then good old American Airlines back home.
So you flew and experienced in one trip multiple tiers of aspirational flights and stays all in a single trip. You had me beat because last time I went to the Maldives, I did Q Suites and then I did Emirates first in business. You did Q Suites and then Emirates first and then Etihad, the residence, and stayed at the St. Regis. So, I mean, that's an incredible experience. We got to unpack this a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you roughly know the numbers as far as points, maybe rough value of what this trip was, whether you want to break it down by, you know, flights or by stays or the whole thing, like whatever's easiest for you? Let's unpack, how many points did this take?
I'll go in reverse because that's the easiest way for me to remember it. So, and also I think some of the best value. So Etihad Residence is bookable by points. We did not. We booked the apartments through points. Last February, I believe Capital One was doing a 40% transfer bonus. So on average, I want to say the Etihad apartment per person is about 200,000 miles on the A380. So we ended up, whatever the math works out, you're better at numbers than I am, I'm sure. It's, I want to say it's about 265,000 miles, and we were able to secure the 400,000 points that we needed for the apartments. If you've ever flown the apartments or ever inquired about the residence, you know as soon as you log into the apartments, you get an update that says you can upgrade to the residence for a specific fee. I've heard stories about people waiting. We actually didn't secure the residence until, I want to say, maybe September of this past year. And we did it for $3,800. So that was the additional expense to secure the residence. So
was that per person or total?
That was total. So that's total. So that was for both of us, which $3,800 for that experience, I'll take any day. I think on average, it ranges somewhere between $3,500 and $4,500, depending on the flight, time, and destination. But totally worth it. The experience, again, if you're ever in Abu Dhabi, when things calm down, beautiful airport. The soft product was amazing. First class lounge. We had a private room. They basically would, like, if you can think of it, we'll bring it to you. They had their own crystal china, all sorts of things. You don't leave hungry.
You've heard me talk about Bilt as the loyalty program that lets you earn points on rent wherever you live. And they just leveled up even more. As of 2026, homeowners can also earn up to 1.25x points on their mortgage payments. This is thanks to Bilt's three new credit cards, the Palladium card, Obsidian card, and Blue card. All three turn your housing payments, rent or mortgage, into flexible rewards, so you can choose the card that fits your lifestyle without missing out on points and exclusive benefits. Bilt points can be redeemed at top airlines and hotels, Amazon.com purchases, future rent payments, and even more. Bilt points have also been ranked by top publications as the industry's most valuable points currency. Your housing payment is already your biggest expense. Make it your most rewarding. Find the card that fits your lifestyle and apply today at joinbilt.com/journey. That is joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Terms and limitations apply. Subject to approval and eligibility, Bilt cards are issued by Column NA, member FDIC, pursuant to license for MasterCard International Incorporated.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Before we move on from there, let's talk about the residents a little bit, because I know Kelly Blair, also a doctor, I think she also is a dentist as well. She flew the residence. We recorded an episode with her last year. She talked about the residence. What was the experience like? Because for someone that hasn't heard of someone that's actually flown the residence, they might have heard of the residence, but they don't know actually what to expect. Can you sell the experience?
So I've flown Emirates 380 first class. We've flown Singapore Suites first class. this beat out both of those from an experience perspective. And I think it really comes down to a couple things. One, being able to sleep in a thing that's actually a bed and made as a bed. And it's not, again, Singapore Suites is great. You have a separate bed from the seat, but it just to have a different room, different space. The service on there is, you have basically your own flight attendant the entire service. So the other nice thing that I will say leaving from Abu Dhabi and going back to the North America is all flights in Abu Dhabi for the most part leave at nighttime. I think really just because it gets so hot during the day that workers are not on the tarmac. Obviously in the wintertime it's not as hot, but the flight left at 3 o'clock in the morning. So the ability for us to go to sleep, and then the reality was we actually were back on a normal time change without jet lag fairly easy. We didn't experience jet lag like we had before in previous trips, which was really nice. But you have your own bed, your own bathroom, you have your own shower. So both bathrooms on the A380 for the apartments and for the residents have a shower. So just like any other flight with a shower, they secure your time, but you're obviously a lot more flexible if you're really just two people trying to find a time versus 8 or 9 people within a first class cabin. The food was amazing. My wife got all sorts of things. I think steak frites was probably her favorite thing she had. And one of the things that they did for us, which I did not say, I don't know where they got it from, because it was our 10-year anniversary, they actually brought aboard a cake that had our names on it and said, happy anniversary. I don't know where they found out that information. Someone may have overheard us in the first class lounge or something, but just a beautiful touch for in terms of the customer service that we were provided and offered with Etihad.
That's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Do you know roughly what the cost of that, of the residence would be if you had just booked it straight cash for that flight?
I don't know if you're able to book the residence straight cash anymore. I think for the apartments, if you're trying to book it from Abu Dhabi, it's, I want to say about $13,000 to $14,000 per person. So again, it's probably 30, 35-ish total. So who knows? More than I would ever spend on a plane ticket, that's for sure.
Understood. No, that's fantastic. Before we move on, one thing I just have to ask, one of the biggest fears people have around Etihad is their insanely strict cancellation policy and rules around points and such, right? So when you transfer there, of probably all the airlines you could possibly transfer to, that's one of the worst to ever speculatively transfer to for many reasons that we're not going to go through in this show. But were you nervous with that? Were you just so confident that this was not going to be a, you know, obviously it's your 10-year anniversary, so you guys were planning on doing it, but were there any nerves involved with booking something like that with such a strict airline?
I think, well, I did run into a situation. I actually over-transferred points, so I had 80,000 points that I actually just utilized the other day for another trip for something else, but they were going to expire within 6 months, so it's something that you definitely don't want to transfer in speculation to Etihad. I also think that this trip was different. If you're planning something around a date, obviously in dentistry, I try and work my schedule around my patients, and we're sometimes working 6 to 8 months in advance, which sometimes is great for points travel because often I'm looking for trips 8 to 12 months out. So it gives me a little bit more selection opportunity, and we can be flexible with that as well. So I actually found, again, working in reverse, I found the Etihad flight first and then worked backwards to schedule the other airplane tickets, figuring out kind of where I was going to be flexible. How long were we going to stay in the Maldives? Was it 5 nights, 6 nights? Because obviously 5 nights is a sweet spot with the free night for Marriott, but there wasn't an Emirates flight coming back. So that's why we ended up being flexible and extending the night there. So I would say if you're doing this, being flexible, but figuring out kind of what your bookends will be for the trip and figuring out what are your things that are non-negotiable and utilizing that strategy and then working everything else around that.
Awesome. Now, for where you stayed in Abu Dhabi, can you talk a little bit more about that? Was that a point stay? Were you there for just a night? Was it a few nights? How was that overall experience?
So Abu Dhabi, we didn't stay at all. So we just took the Etihad, get you a chauffeur, that's included with the residence. And so we were still in Dubai and we met some friends that had moved there for dinner and we needed a place to shower. So I used a free night reward and I ended up booking the IHG Continental in the marina just for a place to drop our luggage and take a shower, which was again, a great, like halfway house for a few hours, but I definitely wouldn't have had that opportunity without credit cards either. So, but the Al Mahal, where we stayed in Dubai for 3 nights, we utilized points for that as well, which is a great way to utilize it because when you use points for that location, you're able to take advantage of all of the all-inclusive packages that come with that.
And what points currency did you book that through?
So I booked that through Marriott.
Got it. Okay. So it's another Marriott property. Perfect.
It's a Marriott property. It's a luxury collection Marriott. So,
and Kathy, what's your status with Marriott specifically?
So Marriott, I have titanium status. I have the Brilliant card and then I have the business card. So it gets us upwards of whatever that is, 40, 45 nights. And then in many cases through my dental travel and other continuing education courses, often we're able to get to the titanium level pretty easily.
Nice. Very nice. And I know obviously you haven't mentioned a lot of like Hyatt stays, which people talk about often and such, right? So Marriott places have been the highlight and the focus, which I think is really great in for this episode because it's showing a little bit of a different angle than what we typically hear on this show, which brings us to back, because we're going back in time, to the St. Regis in the Maldives. And how was that? I know you highlighted a little bit, but let's dive a little bit deeper. Points, the stay, the experience, the view, the room, the suite, all of that.
So I've stayed at St. Regis before. You get a butler, which I hardly ever utilize. Here, it was almost a necessity for you to utilize, and they felt like it was that's their existence, is to help make your stay even better. Every day, you have a room attendant as well, which is responsible for organizing everything in your room, unpacking, things like that. Every day, our room attendant would leave us towel sculptures, is the best way I can describe them. We had a whole lineup of this army of towels when we were done with our trip. Everything from a man and a woman to a seashell to a shark to an octopus to, my kids would have loved it. But just an everyday, a handwritten note to us, like, hoping you're enjoying your stay. If there's anything else we can do for you. You're asked for it. Hey, can I have an iced coffee in the afternoon? Absolutely. What time would you like it? I'll have it for you every day. I mean, those types of things that if you're not accustomed to that type of customer service, it can really just set the bar for you in a totally different standard. The St. Regis, like most resorts, is on its own private island, which is how a lot of the Maldives are set up. There are some larger islands, so you take a seaplane to it, which is a unique experience in itself. It's hot. There's no air conditioning. If you're ever on a seaplane, I recommend you wear a short sleeve shirt or something you can take off. And another pro tip, sit close to the front because that's where the fans are. So the very front seat, there's a fan right above your head. That's where my wife sat. And you get a great view of the pilots in their flip-flops. So they know what they're doing, that's for sure. The pilots on the Maldivian Airways. But you land. The boat taxis right to the entrance resort. Everyone's there. It's like a scene from White Lotus. Everyone's waving to you as you exit the plane. And from the moment that you step onto the island, you feel like you're in another place. On the Maldives, I was fortunate enough to be able to speak with the general manager a couple different occasions. We had kids the same age, so we connected on that. But he had been there since 2019. And he on the island has a team of 500 individuals, and there is no way that you'd be able to notice that there were 500 employees on that island. You would see the same people day in and day out, and it made you realize how many people were behind the scenes making some of the magic come to life. So service was incredible. People obviously know your names from day two and know what you like to drink, what you like to eat. There's a lot of anticipation in terms of where you want to sit. So it was experiences. All of those things were just amazing.
Now, in certain places like the Park Hyatt Maldives, the beach villa is what you can typically book with points, and then you can pay cash to upgrade to the overwater villas. Staying there, I would argue the beach villa, especially if you get upgrades like a beach villa with the pool, is much more spacious, much nicer than the overwaters. If you've done the overwater thing before, to be very clear. So if you have an overwater, do it. It's really cool. But if you've done it, like the beach villa and the Park Hyatt Maldives is fantastic. Where did you guys stay at the St. Regis? Did you go overwater? Did you go beach? Was it only overwater? What was it there?
Great question. So the standard room is an overwater villa, which is great. I think it's one of the few properties that's actually one of the standard rooms. Fortunately for us, with our status, we were able to get upgraded to Caroline Astor Suite, which was a huge room. I want to say it was like 3,500 square feet, including the outdoor space, which you definitely didn't need for two people. And that's where I think the advantages of points really come into play. Because again, the cash value for that room, I would say, was close to $38,000 for the 6 nights that we were there, which again, I would never imagine paying to stay in a hotel room. However, we were able to utilize about 700,000 Marriott points for that same stay, which was amazing. The only thing that you still have to pay for is your seaplane travel transfer, which is about $800 per person.
Now, what about food and beverages? Is that included or not included in the stay? Because I know Park Hyatt, you're paying cash for everything.
Yep. So you're still paying cash. US dollar is the currency. What I learned about the Maldives is because alcohol is not permitted on certain places, it's privatized. There is, I want to say, like 150% tax on alcohol. So a cocktail that might be $13 at your local establishment or restaurant may end up being $45 at the Maldives. So I know that could be a turnoff for some individuals not wanting to spend that much if you do drink a lot. But in terms of, we had a cocktail every night and that was pretty much it. So I didn't drink a ton. Obviously, bottles of wine there. Vincent, the GM, said that the only two people that don't complain are Scandinavians and Russians because they already have those taxes on their alcohol. But when you get Europeans coming there, they're like, why am I paying this much for a $40 bottle of wine? That's $140. So, but food, and I mean, any food, you want caviar, great, they have caviar. It's one of those things where it's amazing that such an isolated area has the ability to bring in and import so many different things that are still fresh.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild on the tax there. For those that are hearing this and they're like, oh, I'll just go duty free on my way there, or I'll bring some alcohol. You absolutely can't.
Nope.
Anywhere you go duty free, like a Qatar or Dubai, and you say that you're flying to the Maldives, they will close your transaction. You cannot purchase it. If you land in the Maldives with alcohol, they will confiscate it. And what happened to me, which is actually, I don't think I've shared this story on the show, our first time going to the Maldives, landed in the Maldives with no issues. We were on a liveaboard for one resort, then a liveaboard. Then we took a regional flight to the Park Hyatt, stayed at the Park Hyatt, same regional flight back. And for whatever reason, this airport, which is the second smallest airport I've ever been to in my life, they found my airline bottles in my bag that had been with me the entire time, right? So I flew into the Male. Didn't take them. I flew out of Male Regional Airport. Didn't take them. But this one little airport, I was so upset because I forgot they were even in my bag. Nothing really happened. They took my passport. I asked the Hyatt service person, the concierge that travels with you, like, hey, am I going to get arrested when I go to Male? They was like, no, it's fine. But yes, don't try to sneak alcohol into the Maldives. It will not work. And you will have to just pay the out of price pocket for it. And then if you go to an island, like a locals island, they don't sell alcohol at all. Like, as you said, it's only on resorts.
They have offshore shore bars that you take a boat to, which I still think is a great business idea, whoever started that. So
yeah, I know. Obviously, they saw the need there. Cappy, this has been fantastic. You've talked about a lot of great things with your stay. I know we covered on the way back up to the Maldives.
Yep.
We've talked a lot on our show about Q Suites. I know you said you flew Qatar first class. Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Because that's a little bit more unique. And then anything else you want to highlight from a point standpoint with the trip?
The planes, I think from my limited research, are Cathay Pacific old planes, 777s. So you can tell they're dated. Not a lot's been updated. They've veneered over some things, but for the most part, it's an older product. But the service, again, caviar service, champagne, all of the accoutrements that you could imagine for Middle Eastern first class service were there. It was, again, technology-wise, they had flip-out screens, so it was older technology there. And I really don't know what the status is or what will happen to the first class product. I've read a couple of mixed things where they might be bringing some new planes, but then also some things where they might just phase it out over a period of time as well too. But again, like leaving Abu Dhabi, all the flights are at nighttime. Fortunately, because of the first class flight, we did have access to the first class lounge in Qatar, which my wife was fortunate enough to get a massage at, which is a great way to pass some time in a lounge. And we had some really great food and beverages while we were in the lounge as well. And overall, it looks like a museum. I mean, it's not a place where you want to bring your kids because it's like a library. You can hear every single word, everything. It's very quiet, very peaceful. They do have an F1 race simulator in the kids area, but it was broken. I was bummed about that. And I think it's been broken the last couple visits that I've seen people in the area as well. So hopefully they get that up and running soon.
No, that's super cool. That's one lounge I have not been to. I've flown through Doha many times, and I've not ever been first class to fly through. But I learned, actually from a previous guest on the show, that if you just fly a shorter flight on Q Suites into Qatar or into Doha, or out of, I should say, even if it's like a 2-hour, 3-hour flight, Q Suites counts for first class to get access to the first class lounge. So I plan to use that at some point in the future, if whenever we end up going back through there. Because I do, as you mentioned, I love Qatar. It's an amazing country. It's super safe. Been there a few times, both through connections and actually staying there. Stayed there for a week at a time. It's a fantastic place to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cappy, this has been amazing. I love the stories that you've told. It's so unique that what you did. Congratulations to you and your wife on an incredible 10-year anniversary trip. That was absolutely amazing. What's also funny, the similarity with Kelly, the other dentist, is I think this was her 20-year anniversary trip when she flew the residence. So something for those listening, the bar is basically set. Those 10-year incremental trip or anniversaries, the residence has to be a part of it, which means I might need to hold out for 9 and a half more years before flying that. But Cappy, this has been absolutely fantastic. Where can the listeners connect with you? Because I know you share a lot of really great information, especially for those who own dentists and have medical practices as well.
So I do occasionally do CE events for dentists that you can often see on my social media page, which is smile_high_crew. Little play on words there for, and hopefully we're going to be setting some things up here in the near future with some CE events. So that's the great thing about dental CE. You can learn about points, travel, credit cards, but at the same time, get some of your continuing education credits if you're in the medical field at the same time. And it's a business expense. So pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Cappy, it's been a blast having you on the show today. It's a blast knowing you in person. And also thank you for being in our WhatsApp community chat. I know you've talked through, actually, I think you sent a picture of your residence, like flying the residence, like your boarding pass. Oh, and you're like, about to level up the flight game, right? So just really appreciate you being on the show today. Before we wrap this up, I know you listen to the show. I always wrap up with two questions for my guests. The first one being, who else or who next do you think we should have on the show?
So someone else that I've gotten a lot of information on that's been really helpful over the last couple of weeks is Julia. She's on Journey on Points on Instagram. She has a lot of really good, I think, relatable content, and she obviously loves traveling with her husband and has some really good ways that you can utilize points to their maximum advantage.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I'm actually connected with her. I will work to get her on a future episode because I'm very confident she'll have a lot of really great information for all the listeners. Cappy, again, thank you so much. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Nothing other than I'm kind of scared to see what my 20-year anniversary, what that's going to look like, if that's going to involve private air travel. Hopefully not. That's pretty expensive. So my wife has grown accustomed to this, and I think it's the new normal for us, fortunately or unfortunately, and for our kids.
I wish I could say, as financial advisor advice, right? Like create a savings account for points over the next 10 years and build it up to cash them in for private, but it doesn't work with the points and miles world. So I will find out, I guess, in 10 years from now what you end up doing and figure out. I'm just going to try to follow whatever path you're on.
Yeah. Well, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, DeAndre. This has been fun.
Absolutely, Cappy. It's been a blast having you on the show today. Thank you so much for all your wisdom as well. For the listeners out there, make sure to connect with Cappy. He shares a lot of really great information on his Instagram. And while he was stranded, quote unquote, in St. Thomas, he provided a lot of hilarious commentary that I was watching while I was in New Zealand. And so you absolutely want to go ahead and give him a follow and connect with him in our WhatsApp community chat. And if you enjoyed this episode today, make sure as always to follow us on all the social media channels, our Boldly Go Travels vlog channel on YouTube, sign up for our newsletter and our private Facebook group if you want to get access to our WhatsApp community chat. That's the two ways to get access to it. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And as always, we will see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales Podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.